And we are back for episode 24 with your boy, as always, Barstool Reegs, myself, Ben Brust. And we got a good show heading out of Labor Day. I don't know about you, but I've been sweating a little bit of my weekend. It was a long one. It's like – it was a marathon.
It was – so I was in Charleston all weekend. So I was, yeah, doing nothing but drinking and eating oysters and – every possible shellfish that was out there. And
Charleston, SC?
Yeah, Charleston, South Carolina. Not Charleston, West Virginia. I know that's a popular vacation destination. Yeah, it was Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay. I love it there. I think it's absolutely awesome.
That's my first time. My parents are moving there next year.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah, it was me, my siblings are – wives, husband, and girlfriend all went out and went to, you know, all eight of us were there. We stayed in Folly Beach. Have you ever been to that area of Charleston?
My sister went to College of Charleston, so, like, yeah. I just had been there a little bit. But I just remember going through the town, and the restaurants were great. The food was great. It's, like, it's South Carolina weather, too, so it's, like, 80. It's perfect.
Yeah,
I don't know. How was the weather? It gets a little toasty at this time of the year. So I remember going back in the winter.
I'm going to move there at some point. I was already picking out, like, what houses I'm going to buy.
Oh, my gosh. You just bought a house.
Yeah, I know. So I'll sell this one to you.
Are you literally 35 years away from that?
I'm 29 in like 7 months.
So, yeah.
But you're younger than me, though. So think of it, I already have 4 years on you.
I think I'm going to think of more of an optimistic way. I'd rather be younger and have my good years ahead of me versus hearing you complain about house issues and – I don't know, fixing this, fixing that. That's going to be your life the next 5 years. Mine is not going to be that.
It's not. We've actually gotten lucky with the house stuff, and it has been too bad. Like, right now, we're getting a fence put in.
It's early. I'm sure you've heard Kevin talk about this. Like, yeah, you get roped into this idea.
No, the worst stuff always happens early. It's always, like, because it's right after you sign and you can't back out. It's never down the road when it's like, all right, I finally feel invested in this thing.
I don't know. I disagree. I think you're going to eat your words on that one. You're going to get into this in about 2 years after the honeymoon phase is over of the house.
That was over 24 hours into it.
You're already done. The first picture you sent was a shuffleboard, and you're already over it.
I mean, I love my basement, but
so you're not over the basement, but you're over the actual owning of the house phenomenon.
Yeah, it's a lore. Like, it's just like, okay, I own a house.
Man, that sucks. That's depressing. Like, quick,
because you just immediately go in doing work on it.
What have you done? Every time I see you, you're basement blogging down here.
I know. Well, we do work on it.
Yeah, are you handy, by the way?
Not really. Like, I can – it depends. It depends what you're trying to get me to do. Like, it depends if I feel like doing it more than anything else. Like, I can probably figure it out. I can't guarantee that'll be done right in the long term, but I can figure out, like, the fix.
So you're the short-term fixer-upper guy. Like, you can just get it done if you need to get it done, but it's not going to be the right way in the long term.
I'm good at, like, the following directions, but I'm much more just, like, I'd rather hire someone because if it breaks, it's on them, and I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, it sucks. My dad's a general contractor. And I have no skills to do anything but put a basketball through a hoop.
Yeah, right. Like,
and that's worth nothing now.
Shockingly, that doesn't go far. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Wait, episode 24.
It is.
And this one has to hold a pretty good place for college basketball players, I think. I don't think 24 is a too popular.
It's going to be in 5 to 10 years. Because you're going to because of Kobe. Kind of like how we.
You know what I mean? In terms of the 20s, I never really thought 24 is a big number, but no. I think it's pretty popular now.
Yeah.
Because the kids at our age, you know, when they were in high school or freshman and sophomore, the Black Mamba changed from 8 to 24, and you get the Buddy Hields of the world who emulate the game around it.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, you know, we talked about last episode where – you can see if you're coaching or going to watch a game, there's always a number 3, always a number 23, 24 is going to be one of those numbers soon that every team has one person that is dying to wear 24.
So who is your 24?
I'm going Antoine Walker. Gotta love the shimmy.
Gotta love being bankrupt.
Yeah, see, that's...
Gotta love handing money to everyone in the whole wide world.
And see, he became... Why I went Antoine Walker is because... he kind of became a butt of a joke, but he was a really, really goddamn good basketball player.
He was – what's a good comparison for him in today's NBA?
I don't know.
There's no one really like him.
Yeah, I don't know who would be a good comparison in today's NBA, but he was –
he's kind of chunky, can score, can shoot.
He was a really good shooter. I mean, he was – I think people forget, he was, a huge recruit, won a championship in Kentucky, a really, really good player, and then just became a butt of a joke with the whole bankruptcy thing. But it's Antoine Walker strictly for the shimmy.
Did you know that the White Mamba was number 24?
Scalabrine?
Yep.
At what point? Because he probably wore 4 to 5 different numbers.
In college.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I don't know if I would have gotten that one.
Another good 24 who is a world champion on the Golden State Warriors. Let's see if you can get this one.
On this year's Golden State Warriors?
He was on this year's and the other year's Golden State Warriors.
Let's see here. So Ian Clark was 23. Nobody in the starters. Pachulia didn't wear 24. Patrick McCall.
It's actually a pretty popular player.
Didn't wear.
And it's a starter.
A starter? Well, you got Clay. Are you thinking? Wait, we're 24 for the Warriors or in college?
College.
Oh, I was thinking who wore 24 literally on the Warriors.
Well, you would get that one right away if there was one. I just figured you'd be like, oh, that's not in the – it's not in the Warriors because you and your beep-bop-boop-bop-beep mind that calculates everything.
Iguodala wore 24 at Arizona, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. See, damn, you're weird.
I know.
Dude, that's weird. That was impressive. So there's another one. Let's see here. Karnowski?
Yeah, Karnowski. Shout out to our guy Karnowski.
Karnowski, the big Polak. He's a big 24.
He is. So a lot of good players were 24. So
Dylan Brooks, Bronson Koenig.
Yep. Obviously, we just talked about him, Buddy Hield.
Rick Barry's kid, I think, wears 24.
At
Florida.
Last year, Florida. Well, he was only at Florida for a year. He's done now. I think he did wear 24 last year, Florida. I think you're right.
So yeah, there's going to be a wave of 24s because of the COVID.
Yeah. And it's funny to see that, kind of when there is those waves. So let's get into it. I think people are starting to ask us about conferences and what's going on for this year.
Mm-hmm.
The plan for the show as we head into the season is to do conference previews in October, with the goal in mind of having a guest that is associated with each conference, whether it's a former player, a coach, a media member.
Someone who can break it down.
Yes. So you'll be seeing especially the six major ones. I think what we'll do is the six major ones, maybe do one for the A-10 and the AAC together, and then a mid-major one. So you'll see –
I'm with it.
You'll see 8 episodes of conference previews.
I don't know. Maybe depending on the guest and the size of the conference.
Right.
And we could maybe throw 2 in there at once. But obviously the Big Ten, the Big East, the ACC, the Pac-12 – oh, the Big 12. I mean, we're going to have
one of each of those, and then probably combined
an other, and an other,
and then the, you know, the mid, the true mid majors.
Yeah, well, A10 ACC AAC,
AAC
is a good combination. Then we'll do an all other.
Yes.
Of relevance.
Yeah, of just who's to watch, because you know you got guys like Nevada out there, and you got guys like Vermont out there who's going to be really good this year.
And there's usually some good Missouri Valley schools here and there. Yeah. Illinois State has always been solid, even though they were overshadowed by Wichita State. So
Evansville
there's going to be
times there. And...
Yeah, like there's going to be schools like that we can talk about. So that's the plan moving forward for that.
Starting in October, obviously September. You're starting to get a little bit closer to basketball season, but it'll be more episodes kind of like this. And then once the season starts, we're pretty much going to do 2 episodes a week is the plan as of now. So if you're looking to kind of plan out your stuff, tentative, two days a week, 2 shows a week. I think the goal we'll try to do, obviously, like a Sunday night show to preview Monday, Tuesday games, and then like a Thursday show for the weekend to get you ready, everything like that. Because in college, the biggest nights are probably, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Saturday, I would say, are the nights that people are really tuned in to the college basketball world. So we're going to do our best to kind of keep everything up to date. Once the season goes, news is breaking. Stories are breaking, everything like that, all the time. So we're going to do our best to do 2 shows a week once the season kicks in.
Yeah, and that might lead to a good point. Like when you say that, you know, there's going to be a bunch of news hitting, I'll let you break this down a little bit here, but with the potential transfer rule changing, that could change a lot of in-season fluctuation from players trying to leave programs and all that nonsense. So I'll let you get into this a little bit.
Yeah, so this just came out from 24/7 Sports today. We're recording this here on Tuesday night. This happened today. Essentially, what they're saying is if student-athletes meet a certain GPA requirement, they do not have to sit out a year to transfer. The thing is to make a uniform transfer rule, so you have the grad transfers and the undergrad transfers all kind of following the same thing. And it's just working on the Division I Transfer Working Group. I wrote a blog on it tonight, kind of put my 2 cents on it, which you can find, obviously, on Barstool. Talk about it with me and you now, though. I like it. And I was actually talking to an assistant coach, sent me a message right after my blog went up. It was like, this would be anarchy. And I was just like, yeah, but at the same time, and like, you know, he kind of agreed too in the sense that I like that it helps protect guys when their head coach leaves or when an assistant coach leaves.
I was literally just going to say that. I'm like, it would be anarchy, blah, 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 blah. But how is it fair to the student athlete if they're doing what their job is
right,
to go to school and to play basketball, but there's no consequence for the coaches leaving? They just make more money. Like the hypocrisy, it drives me nuts.
And that's what I said too in my blog, is the hypocrisy of the schools, the NCAA, the coaches, everyone associated with it, is they preach student athlete. It's about the student. It's about academics, and then athletics is last. No, there's roughly zero other students in the world that get a transfer blocked.
It's unfortunate that student athlete like rolls off the tongue more naturally than athlete student.
Right.
Because I mean, it's a running gag, obviously, that they're not student athletes, because most of the guys, they do pick school based off basketball. But if you're trying to endorse the student athlete phenomenon or name, then you got to live by it. So this is a good step in the direction to make that quote-unquote student-athlete name means something in the college basketball world.
Yeah, that, and the minimum GPA requirement hasn't come out what the minimum GPA requirement is. I'm assuming it's probably going to be fairly low, you know, whatever is good standing.
What would you say that is?
I don't know, like a 2.0? Like just,
you think that would warrant 2.5? I think you got to be above 2.5.
But why, though? Like, again, If it's just to me, like,
because 2-0, if you don't have a 2-0, you're not eligible as it is. So that doesn't do anything to help.
Like a 2-2, somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle.
No, you got to make them actually do work to become an actual student athlete, so they have the ability to transfer. Otherwise, it's just labeling something. Student.
Like, it's a C student. It's not the end of the world. Like, how many 2-0s?
No, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world, but it doesn't help your program. If you're just getting by at a 2-0, you're already doing that to stay eligible. So this rule doesn't really do anything to make sure that they're actual student athletes. It's literally just saying they don't have to sit out.
Yeah, but I think
so it doesn't do anything.
I think it's more masquerading to help people that fight the notion about, like, the student athlete and student being the key part of, oh, well, look, there's a minimum requirement and they're hitting it. Oh, good for them.
That's my point. Like, they need to actually have to do something for that to mean something so. And be worth it.
I don't think there should be. Like, again, just do whatever you want. Like, I don't even think there should be a minimum requirement to transfer.
I mean, there isn't.
But you're saying – in this situation,
I know.
Right. What?
I know, yeah.
Just if they want to transfer. Like,
if
you left Wisconsin with a 1.7 after your sophomore year, if you were just a regular student – you could go wherever you wanted as long as they accepted you.
Oh, man, I don't want to be almost hypocritical or controversial to myself, but I think that's a different scenario in this circumstance.
But that's the thing. There shouldn't
we argue that all the time, saying, like, well, if a student, you know, applies and gets in, then he can, and all those different rules. We always cite that. Or if you would leave a job for more money, right, you know, why can't they, sort of thing.
Do whatever you can to better your
– but I don't know. I think you have to earn a little bit of that, because you're committing to the university. You're committing to more than just basketball. At the end of the day, that's the truth. So if you're not putting your time and efforts into doing school to get above a 2-0, I think it's a joke, and it will become – you need to have some restrictions, Bobby. Otherwise, it will be chaotic. It will be stupid. Everyone will be going everywhere. It's going to be chaotic anyways. But if you don't have any sort of guidelines, it will literally turn into NBA free agency every freaking week. It will be worse and worse and worse. I don't like it. There needs to be minimums beyond a 2.0. I'd be shocked if that's what they came out with.
I mean, I'm fine with that. But, I mean, like I said, here's what a coach said to me. I'm not going to say what school or anything like that, but he is someone who worked on transfers. He said basically from the end of the season until Memorial Day, he's working – harder than ever. He talked to or reached out to 500 of the 750 transfers this year. And it's just, and what they said is, you know, recruit proven players with proven track records. You can watch a guy for 2 years on film, on Synergy, and talk to teams in his league that prepped against him rather than watching high school AAU ball. So it's already free agent. It's just,
that's my point. Like, it will be even crazier than that. There's 700 transfers that turns into 2,000.
But again, that's at this rate, that doesn't bother me at all.
I may have lost you for a quick. I'm
just saying that it doesn't bother me at all. Like, I don't care if every single person in college basketball transfers.
That's dumb. That is so dumb.
But it's
you're so literal sometimes with stuff like this. Like, ban the charge, let everyone transfer, let them do whatever they want. There has to be guidelines and restrictions. Otherwise, it'll just be so chaotic and stupid. It will make me lose interest in college basketball. Because this is the truth. I know so many people that thought about transferring that didn't want to. That, like, you would see so much turnover as a fan of an actual basketball team, of an actual program. This won't happen for a school like yours, because they're only coming for 1 year and leaving the majority of the time. And if they're staying, it's because they're going to be a really, really good team and they're still going to have a role. But everyone else would be gone. It would be so stupid. You basically – commitments would mean nothing. Commitments would mean absolutely nothing. So I don't know. I like the idea. I'm just saying there needs to be some sort of guideline before it gets too crazy.
But then what are you going to do? Put an asterisk in? Like, it becomes too complicated then, because you're saying – okay, well, this prevents people, you know, protects them if their coach leaves. Well, what happens if their coach leaves and they have a 2.3 GPA instead of the 2.5.
Hang on, start over on that. I'm not following what the point is.
Well, we both agree this is a good rule to help people be protected if their coach leaves, that they can transfer immediately and be eligible immediately.
Well, correct. That
person
that,
is a 2.3.
That's an extenuating circumstance. I'm thinking more of like the coach is still there. They hate the coach and they're leaving because of that sort of thing. Or they didn't play and they're mad at the coach 1 year. The thing that's a complete different scenario. If a coach leaves, we'll never go away from this. The student should be able to just go. That's stupid. They committed to that school and that coach. That coach that sold them probably on lies that he played right away to all that nonsense.
Well, every coach should, lies.
Exactly. I'm saying he should be able to go because of that. He shouldn't just be able to go if he's a shithead student and has a 1.9 GPA and is mad at the world because coach didn't play him this year because blah, 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 blah. That's dumb. Grow up, fight through something, because that same person's just going to transfer and never play the same thing next year. So it will just become too nuts. I like the rule to be able to transfer, not sit out, but you got to earn it somehow. So it's not just an epidemic of transfer, transfer, transfer. One bad game, transfer. Coach didn't play me, transfer. That's just creating a weak society.
I honestly don't think you'd see I don't think the jump in numbers from transfers. You would just see more of like the mid-major guys making the jump up to the major level.
No way.
Yep. That's what you would see more guys like Justin Robinson jumping from Monmouth to a bigger
school. I'm not saying that wouldn't happen, but you're saying the numbers wouldn't be big in terms of high major people transferring? No way.
Compared to what we see now, I don't think it'd be this massive jump. Like, there'd be a jump, but there wouldn't be this massive number that I think would scare a lot of people. I really don't think you'd be that crazy of a number.
Well, part of me hopes to see it a year just so it fails and it goes crazy that we can see it get cut back.
Here's the thing, though. If you do put this like limit on it and whatnot, or you know, kind of what the fear is it just shows like, hey, these players are driving money and everything like that. You have to be compensated one way or another, because now you're just saying they're not student athletes. They're athletes.
All right. This is a whole other debate.
It's what's going to end up being is that debate. That's what this is going to lead to.
I hear you. I mean, I think it's clear where both of us stand, and we can go back and forth in this forever.
But
so,
people want to hear what you have to say.
I'm going to let the rule come out. I want to do a little bit more homework on it myself and see what the minimum guidelines come out as. But again, I'm all for giving the student athletes more power. And I guarantee they'll probably do it in a way where it won't be chaotic because the NCAA.
Well, there's going to be lawsuits left and right to hold it up, either the NCAA side or the.
Exactly.
Or
so
if it fails, it's going to be a lawsuit from the other side.
We'll see what happens there, but I don't know. I would hate to see it become just like there's no loyalty at all and like people leave.
There's already no loyalty.
What I'm saying is I don't want it to become where like everyone does it because it's the easy scapegoat thing out. Listen, I wanted to transfer my sophomore year many times, but I didn't want to sit out and I didn't, you know, it was thoughts that go through everyone's head.
Right.
But if everyone else had done it at a much quicker rate, would I maybe have done it then? You know what? Probably. I probably would have because it would have been easier. And then I would have given up some of the things that just happened to me as a junior and senior. And who knows what would have happened to me or if it would have worked out. So I see some value in putting restrictions on is all I'm saying, just so people fight it out and grow up, learn to be a man, and then go get shit done when they stay and battle their way to the lineup. That's my whole point.
Yeah, but there's two sides of the spectrum, though. Like they still need a place to go to transfer. Like they can transfer, but they still need someone to say, "Hey, you can come here."
If it's top down, like I think it will be, like high major, there's always gonna be room for people to go on low major schools. Then,
yeah, so. I think you'd see more the opposite side though of poaching the mid major schools than mid majors poaching high majors.
No, I don't think the mid majors will be poaching high majors. I just think a ton of high major players will leave because it'll be so easy to. That's all I'm getting at.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think you may see it a little bit more the other way. I just hope it happens.
I know you do. You've made that clear.
Yeah. Well, I hope it happens.
Next.
Speaking of outrage, LaMelo Ball comes out with his shoes last week. The outrage was hilarious. Like, everyone up in arms, you know, this is ridiculous. And you know what? Good for them.
LaBobby?
Yeah.
I love it. Why can't he do
right,
that?
And
this is a debate I'll get on your team with you here. This goes to, like, why can't he lose his name? He's one of the most popular 18-year-olds in the frickin' world.
He's
and
16.
He can't,
he's not whatever, 18, yeah, 16.
You get what I'm getting at.
Right.
It's stupid that he cannot leverage his name to make money when he's one of the most popular, as you were correcting me, 16-year-olds in the world.
Yeah.
Millions of followers. People will buy his shoes. That is so stupid. I hate the NCAA when it comes to this stuff.
It's – well, here's where LeVar and the people behind the scenes with the Ball situation are really, really smart. There is a way around the NCAA with this because – the rule states, as written right now, that you can't use your likeness after enrollment at a college and things like that. There's a keyword there being after.
After.
LaMelo Ball.
Now, did that UCF kicker, did he start the YouTube stuff after he started?
But he's already enrolled in college and he's doing it there.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Right. But if he would have started it before he enrolled, then it would have been something that he had already been doing.
Right. So, but he may have started them but not made any money then or been as
big. I was just opening that up for discussion. I'd be curious.
I don't know when that happened. But there's – from what I was reading from what people a lot smarter than me were talking about is there's this way around this. Now, obviously, he's going to get looked at from an eligibility standpoint the moment he goes to college.
They are going to put the hot press on him.
And the other thing is, you know, people were kind of mocking, like, oh, where's LiAngelo's shoe? Where's LiAngelo's shoe? Well, LeVar was smart. He said, that'll be coming out in April, a.k.a. once the season ends, talking as if LiAngelo is going to be done after 1 year. But he knows, like, he can't do anything with LiAngelo now because he's already at UCLA.
So he's using the rule to what the rule is.
Yes, which is that's where I will give them all the credit in the world that they're smart businessmen in that standpoint.
Look, this whole Facebook thing they got going, like the live show.
Oh yeah,
dude. LeVar clearly knows what he's doing, and he's probably got someone helping him—a financial advisor, a lawyer who's just totally in on what brand he's trying to build, the Big Baller brand. And it's all manipulative. It's what we talked about one of our earlier episodes, probably the Big Baller brand episode. He is like a Donald Trump type. I'm not comparing him to Donald Trump.
He's
and
like Vince what McMahon.
Vince McMahon, they're all the same narcissistic. Yep. Damn. He's going to manipulate everything he can possibly do to monetize on this whole big shebang brand he's created, and I love it.
Yeah, it's just funny seeing the outrage
jealous.
Yeah, and it's never been done before. Like, it didn't matter if it was him or someone else 5 years from now. This is going to happen at some point. They just happen to be a family that has two really, really good basketball players and one other guy who is decent enough to play Division I basketball.
I'm really, like, I love the whole, like, neglected middle child story. Like, right. I can't wait to see if he plays, like, if this is going to become the next storyline, right? If he doesn't get time, is LeVar going to go nuts? And is Alford going to be like, what is going on? I don't want LaMelo anymore. Like, I want the next saga.
What's funny, though, is, like, you know, remember, LeVar was zero distraction during UCLA this year. You know, if you want to say at the very end of the year when, you know, the whole De'Aaron Fox ball situation, and LeVar came out and said he was going to, you know, kick De'Aaron Fox's ass, everything like that. And, you know, UCLA is going to go to the Final Four. Other than that, like, LeVar Ball was quiet from the UCLA standpoint.
Oh, we didn't hear on him at all from that standpoint. Right. I was just saying I'm curious to see if it comes to fruition. If and it's easy to be quiet when LaMelo's a star and he's, you know, in All-American talks and putting up big numbers. I think, you know, what we'll really see is when one of his kids isn't shining.
Right.
That's when you're really going to see the fireworks.
Right. And it's just, you know, the other thing that people were starting to bring up, which I think has a merit to it, is he doing this with the intention of LaMelo never going to college and playing in, like, China for a year and bringing the brand to China? You know, it's not – he would be – like, LaMelo's a good player. He needs some work, but he's also only 16 years old. But he's a good enough player where he has a chance to make the NBA as of right now. If he pans out the way he's – looking.
Progressing, yeah, right. I agree. He's got a shot.
Right.
But as we all know, when you're 16 to where
anything
you are,
can happen in 3 years, right?
When you're 19, is you don't know, but he's projecting the right path.
Right. So the question is, maybe he just skips college altogether, goes to China, and now he has, you know, by that time he'll have two or three shoes out there, and
he's the next Jeremy. China. He's the next Jeremy Lin of the NBA. They're gonna love him.
Right. Or just, you know, again, they have access to YouTube. They have access to Facebook and all that stuff. Hey, they probably know who he is. They'll know who Lonnie, you know. They know the name.
They have to. So, he's going to be worldwide just because, you know, now that Lonzo's at LA, you know how, like, the big market teams are with world, right, and in foreign NBA fans.
And in LA.
So they'll get a hold of. Yeah, because he's LA too, closer to China, they're going to get a hold of Lonzo, and that's going to lead them to LaMelo. And next thing you know, they're going to be UCLA fans too.
Right, right. So it's just hilarious because the outrage cracked me up. Just people all up in arms, and it's just like, man, who cares? Like,
yeah,
let them do whatever they want to do.
See, here's the difference between me and them is I'll say I'm just jealous. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
They're just mad that it's not them.
Right, right. All right, let's get into this. A new segment that we're throwing out here. First time doing it, called Fouled Out. And this is presented by Water Joe. You know, I mentioned I was in Charleston. You're not working, which is bullshit, by the way. I am working, and I had to come back from Charleston today.
I had a great day.
Yeah, yeah, I did not. So what I really could have used, though, was a lot shorter of a Tuesday and not as hungover from a couple days drinking out in the sun.
Oh, man. So the first time I discovered Water Joe was on a deep hangover. I was at Andy North and Friends. It's a cancer benefit where we all get together and we go out and then we play golf in the morning. And I wake up and I'm like, I need something. I got to go to the course. And I woke up and next to my bed was a water complimentary of Water Joe. It's fantastic. You know why? Because number one, when you wake up hungover, you're tired, you move slow. Drink a Water Joe. Number one, you get hydration. Number two, you get a pep in your step. I mean, I love it. It's my new hangover cure because it, number one, refreshes. Number two, gives me energy. And we all need that, especially after a long Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, and not only that, but it's better than coffee. It's better than the soda alternative. So make sure you go get Water Joe. I enjoy it. I know you enjoy it. You can get Water Joe at Water Joe. That's JOE.com/get-Joe. Again, waterjoe.com/get-Joe. Joe spelled JOE. You can follow them on Twitter, Instagram, at Water Joe USA. Definitely check them out. They're an awesome company, and providing you with better solutions to soda and coffee. So a little bit of everything. But so again, this is Fouled Out, which is presented by Water Joe, and Fouled Out, the new segment here. We're switching it up a little bit for this one, or we're starting a little bit different for this one. It's five questions for each person to ask the other. That can be about anything. It's a five pack of questions. Obviously, five questions, you foul out. So
this is not one of the questions, but this is the easiest question that our listeners should be able to know. Of between the two of us, who do you think's fouled out of more games? Obviously you, because you're a hack. I'm sure you're probably the worst.
No, I would get a lot of fouls for. I mean, yeah, I played super aggressive, but I was on the ball. Like, I guarded on ball all the time, and we pressed. So I would get fouls for just mainly
dumb reach-ins and all that.
Mainly refs for not being great, because they are the worst. But your guys' defense also was made to avoid fouls. Like, your defensive system was made to avoid fouling. That's why Wisconsin's, like, notorious for, like, being, like, one of the least foul committed teams in the country.
I don't think that's necessarily true. I just think, like, you learn to not foul because of the system. It's not that the system makes you not foul. You learn to not foul.
No, I think system plays a large part in it because, like, it's a system with its full court press, trapping, and everything that's super aggressive, i.e. West Virginia, you're going to foul a ton.
Oh, yeah. No, I get you on that. I get you on that. But at the end of the day, people complain about when we're in the post and we chest up that we go into the defender. No, like, we just are in legal guarding position because that's how we've learned to. So people would complain and say they foul a lot more than they do, but I just blame it on – not blame it on. I just attest it to having great technique.
Yeah, I think system plays a large role in it. But, no, I definitely –
yeah, I mean, it does. But, of course – We got to go over a little bit of the rules, but this is fun. This is my favorite segment, and we haven't even started it.
Yeah, well,
five questions for each person. I know you did, and I'm smiling about it because I like when you use that blogger brain to come up with some of the stuff. Five questions for each of us to ask each other. Can be about anything. Obviously, we'll keep it basketball themed, but we'll throw in some other stuff too.
I think what we're gonna do going forward with this segment, we're going to do it definitely when we go in season to two episodes a week. We're going to do it one episode every week. I think what we'll do is open it up to fans and do like a five pack of question from fans, or do, you know, two from fans and then, you know, two or three from fans and one from each other, something like that. We'll find a good way to do it. But to get it started, we're going to ask each other. So what you want to go, what, one for one?
Let's go one for one.
Because these are going to be quick hitting questions, not long drawn out.
Some longer than others, mostly quick.
So, all right, I'll start. Question number one. Who was the toughest teammate you had to guard in practice?
It's so easy, it's not even funny. Jordan Taylor was the absolute worst. He was strong as an ox. He threw elbows. He was a hack. He was cheap. He would cheat. He would pull on your jersey.
That's my kind of guy.
He's annoying. Like, I hate those kind of guys. One of those guys where, like, they know how to be illegal but not be caught for it. I hate those guys.
Yep.
It makes me angry just thinking about guarding him now. We would also do this one. Quick second. We would also do this one-on-one post drill where he would just, like, get low, elbow you right in the ribs, and then just – lay it up and act like he would be like, I didn't touch you. Like, he's just an annoying little dick. But yeah, there's my answer. A little longer than I hoped, but I got a little heated because he was most probably toughest and most annoying.
And one of your friends.
And one of my best friends. I've been texting with all day today. This one, I'm going to go way out of order than what I got here.
Okay.
Would you rather play for Tom Crean or Steve Alford?
That's a great question.
And I'm going to give context to why I asked this question, because Tom Crean is Tom Crean. Obviously, the PMT guys have put Tom Crean in a really interesting light, but I can still assure you that guy was a douche to play against.
Right.
And Steve Alford, he's just not very well liked, and there's something about that greasy, slimy guy that I'm sure this is why the question is intriguing to you, but I think I know who you'll say.
I think I'm going to go Tom Crean.
Ooh, I had you at Alford.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I go with Crean is so many former players come out and talk about how much they liked him. And that holds a lot of weight for me. If you ask me, who do I want to play for? Not necessarily who do I want to cheer for, everything like that.
You want to play for a guy that you're going to come out and be like, hey, I like that guy. That was a good 4 years.
Yeah, good 4 years. A guy who, I mean, as crazy as Tom Crean is, like, and not saying Steve Alford doesn't have his guys back, Crean's a lot more demonstrative with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I truly think Crean would, like, attack somebody if they, like, physically, like, throw hands if somebody tried to go after one of his guys. I'm going to go Tom Crean. But I saw that question come up, and I was like, man, I thought about that one all day. The one I thought about all day.
I texted you, and I was like, I think you're going to like these. Yeah. Really? I did not pick that one as the one that you'd be debating.
Yeah.
So far, I'm 0-1 on your answer, so clearly I don't know you as well as I do.
We're going to be really good at the newlywed game at some point.
But at some point, yeah. I can't wait to play the couples version. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to stick with that sort of theme. Who's the best coach to never win a national title?
Best coach to never win a national title. Well, the two that pop in my mind are two for my conference. I mean, Beilein and Bo. I mean, they're two that stick out in my mind.
And I know everyone's going to be yelling if you don't take Bo. Or if you do take Bo, everyone will just yell that you're a homer anyways.
Exactly. But the guy's going to the Naismith Hall of Fame. He won, like, four Division III titles. So it's not like he's not capable.
Right.
And he came close at the age of 65 or whatever. So I just think that's impressive. And Beilein, I think he'll have a chance to get one just because he's that good of a coach. Intrigued to see if they can get a team like they had in 2013 where they can get a good barrage of four or five-star recruits. Definitely possible, but it hasn't been – you know, they lose D.J. Morris – or D.J. Wilson, sorry. D.J. Wilson. Yeah, I don't know why I thought of Marcus Morris for a second, the old point guard. That was bizarre.
Not Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris is the big guy from Kansas. Darius Morris.
I told you I'm bad with names. I'm looking at faces all the time. Let's see here. The blue blood coaches, I mean, they all got them.
Yeah, because Wright just got his a couple years
ago. Yeah, Jay Wright at Nova was the one that came in my head, but he just got one.
I mean, you could throw Sean Miller on the list.
Kruger?
Maybe.
You know, I'm just trying to think of like guys who have been around a little bit. I wouldn't throw Sean Miller on there just because he hasn't gotten a Final Four yet.
But see, I'd still throw him on there.
Just in my mind, you got to get to a Final Four before you're worth the conversation, even though he's one of the best coaches, in my opinion, and best recruiters. I think he's actually a really good coach. I'd be shocked if they don't. I would be absolutely stunned if they don't go this year.
Yeah, but again, the NCAA tournament's the flukiest thing in the world.
I could have said Brad Stevens if he stayed in the NCAA.
He's still in college, yeah. Yeah,
Dana Altman, maybe. I mean, you could throw him in there now. He's been around a while. He's been at a bunch of different programs.
Altman. You know, you could even throw, if you're talking just like, you know, great coach, Chris Mack.
Chris Mack.
I mean, he's one of the best just straight-up coaches.
Coaches.
Yeah. I saw today he's only like 17 wins away from being Xavier's all-time winningest head coach.
Yeah, he's been there a while now.
Well, not only that, but think of some of the names that have been at Xavier. Pete Gillen, Skip Prosser, Thad Matta. Sean Miller. Like, it's a pretty good list.
All right, next. Well, this was one that I think I know the answer to, but you're probably going to take the answer, I don't think. Would you rather play with the Warriors in this system and win a championship or play with LeBron and win a championship? And I get to answer this just because I want to.
Here's the tough part. I'm going to go with LeBron because I'm under the assumption that Steph Curry's on the Warriors. And I would like to play point.
Okay, if that's your reasoning, that's not really what I was going for when I.
So I took it in that sense. But I'd rather play with LeBron just because I want to play with the best player in the world.
Go ahead.
I was saying, and I would just love to see him in a huddle to see what he sees out on the floor.
Yeah, see, this is tough for me because I know, like, being a shooter, so to speak, like playing with LeBron, you're gonna get so many shots. But I don't think I would fare that well in the system. Like, I love the Warriors system, like the rhythm, the fast break, the pull up on the one on threes. Like, that's the shit that I love and thrived on.
See, the other thing why I said I'd like to play with LeBron more than the Warriors is I was a pass first point guard rather than, you know, like a combo guard. Mm-hmm. And LeBron is just an unbelievable cutter that I would love to be able to just have that outlet of, okay, if I throw this pass, I know he's going to be there.
Yeah, and if I misthrow the pass, somehow
he's still going to be there, right? So for those reasons, I'd love to play with the best player in the world. I'd love to see, like, be in a huddle with him in the middle of a game and him going, okay, here's what I see. Along with the fact that, you know, what he, you know, like I said, with cutting and everything like that, with my style of how I play, I would choose LeBron.
Yeah, see, I had you at LeBron, so I was right on that one.
Yeah.
All right, you're up. Q3.
All right, staying with coaches here. Who was your favorite head coach to play against?
If you can't guess this one, do you not know this one?
I'm not sure.
Oh, it was Tom Crean. Tom freaking Crean.
See, I thought he was your least favorite.
So that's why he was my favorite. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah, that's not what I was really going at, though.
Okay, then I think I get the spirit of the question.
Right.
My favorite head coach to play against was probably maybe this is a good answer. I don't know. Because this might be like a least favorite type deal too. So why don't you re-ask the question in the way it was intended to be asked? Because I think I'm taking it in a different way.
So you're taking it as – how are you taking this? I know how to phrase it better.
I'm taking it as Tom Crean was my least favorite coach in the Big Ten. That's why he was my favorite head coach to play against, because I wanted to beat him.
Who was your favorite coach to play against in the sense
That's respected.
Yeah, like, you know, of I just really enjoy playing against this guy, whether it was their – you wanted to see, I guess, kind of what he came up with from a scheme standpoint.
So I'm going to go with Izzo just because, like, there's something about that system and, like, even having Rick Carter on our podcast, like, just hearing about the day-to-day, there's just some intrigue there. Like, I just want to know how he does it and – like when Rick was taking us through the defense and, you know, the pack line and the hand checking and the chucking cutters, like just him taking me through and actually hearing like that's what they do. There's always been an intrigue to me to learn, you know, all the sets that they run that I learned. And like, I don't know, there's just something about that program, the way he does things, that intrigues me.
Right.
So there's that. And because I want to keep this rapid, I want to keep it moving here.
Well, you're up. You have to ask. Do me I? Now.
Yeah, no, I lost you for a quick sec. Okay. I hate when that happens. Because I'm sure I'm going to go away from basketball. Favorite drunk food?
That's an unreal question. I think I'm going to go nachos. Strictly because my now wife and I, when we first started talking, I was on the phone with her after a night out, and I was living with a buddy at the time, and for whatever reason, I told her I was going to make nachos, got off the phone, she texted me, you know, how are the nachos, and I had this whole elaborate story of how good they were and what I put on them. I never made nachos. but I love, like, nachos are a great drunk food. Like, just straight chicken, cheese, salsa, like melted cheese, salsa, chips, nice and simple.
I can't wait to meet your wife.
I mean, Can you imagine someone that wants to deal with me for the rest of her life?
I'm going to learn so many good things from her.
So it's been – I think nachos, if you're going outside of that, like kind of an off-the-wall answer, wild berry Pop-Tarts.
Drunk.
I mean, I love wild berry Pop-Tarts at any point, but I will hammer them drunk.
Okay.
Like, when it comes to drunk eating, it's more just like, what can I snack on more than – like, I'm not like, I want to go eat, like – I'm not going to order a pizza. I mean, I'll eat a pizza.
I was thinking more like, you're out till 2 a.m. What are you going to get?
It's like, I want to find nachos.
So me, it's Taco Bell. I'm going to get I'm getting a Crunchwrap Supreme with a taco at a soft shell with some nachos with the Mountain Dew, and it's perfect.
Yeah, it's something like that for me. I need like – I like the crunch. I like the I like the snack aspect than – like, I'm not going to go eat – like, I'm not going to go home and, like
– So you're not a meal guy. You're a snack guy.
Yeah.
You're more of a snacker.
Although what I will say is – You know what? I lied. What my favorite junk food is – and I've only forgot about this because I can only get it when I'm back in Pennsylvania.
Bojangles.
Well, I love Bojangles, but that's not in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I know.
Have you ever had Sheetz, the gas station in Pennsylvania? When you're Sheetz? A Penn State or anything like that, Sheetz, no. Sheetz. They've made to order subs. They're called MTOs, and it's a touch screen. You can do whatever you want. When I was back home in summer from college and everything like that, when I was hammered, I would make whoever would pick me up driving me home from the bar stop at Sheetz, and I'd go get myself a buffalo chicken made to order sub that would have like pickles. That's my favorite junk food because I forgot about that simply because I haven't had it in a while since I haven't been home.
That sounds so freaking gross. Just move on.
Yeah. Well, just when you're drunk, it's delicious.
Oh, gross. Gas station food. Ugh.
Yeah. But it's a little different. It's made to order subs. It's not like – it's not true gas station food.
I hear you.
All right. Wisconsin will finish in what place in the Big Ten this year?
I'm sticking by my original prediction. I'm going fourth. I've made a rule with myself that until they finish outside the top four, I will be putting them fourth or higher, and I think it's going to be a tough year for them to get higher than fourth, to be quite honest. So I'm sticking with fourth.
Right at where the barrier is.
Right where that barrier is.
All right.
Next, if you could get a double-double with rebounds – or have five assists that were all great bounce passes, which would you rather have?
So I've had a double-double with rebounds, so I know what that feels like. I've had five assists that I consider were good bounce passes. The key word is great, all great that, bounce passes. That's see, did, my answer.
Did you see that? Did you see that I changed that? Because I was like, not five good bounce passes.
Like,
five,
I'm talking like
great splitting,
you know, splitting the double or something like that.
Yep, backdoor, one-handed.
Yep,
through. Yep, you know where I was going with that.
Right,
and
I
tried
through these bounce passes.
I tried to entice you into the great bounce passes.
Right, like I took a lot of pride in my rebounding ability from a guard standpoint. I was a good rebounder. To me, I'm all in on five great bounce passes. Which
good
you had,
question.
That had you had to know that answer, right?
I did, and that's why I put.
I had a feeling you probably knew that one.
Just because I like when you talk about bounce passes and see how excited you get, it's kind of funny for me. So I did that out of my own pleasure.
Last question for you. Would you rather be a star in the Atlantic 10? Or a role player in the ACC?
So this is
something you somewhat debated when you were coming out of high school and everything like that. But I'm taking it to a little bit more in the sense of, you know, you're in the running for A-10 player of the year, or you're, you know, a starter to seventh man. You're playing moderate minutes. I'm not gonna say significant minutes. You're playing moderate minutes on an ACC team.
Well, then, so here's where it changes, you know, and where it gets tough. But I think the Spirit is a top A-10 school and at least a top ACC school.
See, I was gonna go middle for each one. Like you're
okay.
An okay team for like it's Clemson and like Davidson or
I think
Richmond, something like that.
I think, oh man, the way you just picked those schools. It took my mind to when Davidson actually recruited me, even though they were in different right. conferences.
So,
I think
that's
about.
Why I was going to say.
Well, no. Well, and that's fine. That just makes me think about the size of the schools that you're at. And I obviously right. had experience being at a 40,000 kid school in Clemson. You know, they got the football program, the game days. You know, you got like there is so much that goes into this decision that I've learned to love in life, which is a good college football game day at Wisconsin. Where, like, if I had to give that up to go to a Davidson or, like, a Richmond type, like, gosh. But I don't know because now I'm thinking, like, I also would almost just want to be the top guy at, like, a Richmond because that usually would mean I'm in the running for player of the year, which means I might be a candidate to make, you know, a two-way – like, I'm just, you know, I'm
two-way
saying,
contract,
like, two-way contract or have
at least get to the great, combine.
Or that, like – play first year in a really, really, really top division right. in Europe. So that's where my mind goes. It's like the life path. I want the bigger school, the better life experiences versus all in on basketball. I want to be at like a Richmond killing it. So I'm going to do the life that I'm not living. And that would be the going all in on basketball and playing for a coach that helped me run and gun. And, you know, next thing I know, I was scoring 20 a game and had some decent looks, and let's say I grew 2 inches too, so I was 6'4".
See, that's the tough one because the A-10 is like a respected enough league. To where being the star in the A-10 definitely like it draws some interest.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Like it's not like you know you're the player of the year in the Big Sky, and no disrespect to the Big Sky, but obviously what we're talking about.
Yeah, no, the way you phrase that. I liked so I could put in a different perspective in my head, and I would choose at like a A-10 star.
Yeah.
My last question. So you are considered to be a part of this walkout fraternity.
Shout out walkout fraternity.
Would you rather be a walk-on for the 2012 national championship team, or the 38-1? Kentucky team. And I think this is a harder question than people think because obviously you'd be like, oh, I want to walk on to a national championship. But to be a part of that 38-1 team, that was almost as good as a national championship. They'll be remembered forever.
I agree with that they will be remembered forever and that they were a ridiculously good team. Here's why I don't think it's that tough of a choice. And why you take the national? I'm taking the national championship team as what I'd rather walk on to, is because there's always a debate about which team's better. Like everyone, you know, when you start listing who's the best team of the 2000s or who's the best team of the last 10 years, however it is,
mm-hmm.
these two teams are always mentioned. Because remember, like the national championship team only lost two games too. So it's not like they were, you know, like a, you know, they weren't like UConn when they were the 7 seed that won it, or, you know, kind of an underwhelming regular season with a run to the, you know, you get hot in the NCAA tournament. The 2012 national championship team was the clear number one team. So because they were so good and won the title, it's a no brainer. I'm taking that.
All right, fair enough. I tried to almost sell the 38-1 team to you there just to right. see if I could get a debate. But
and I know it's hard, and I don't want to diminish them because that's one of my favorite teams ever to watch. And, like, there's so many guys on the team that are easy to root for.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how you'd pass up on the national championship team. That was also dominant.
Fair enough. I mean, there you have it. That's followed out. That's the first followed out that we've done.
Yeah, presented by Water Joe.
Presented by our guys, Water Joe. I really enjoy that segment. I love it. It was fun. Like, I was almost sitting there on my couch, like, writing these questions, like, you know, doing my little like what am I gonna mix in there?
Yeah.
You were straight basketball today, which was intriguing.
It was just the vibe that came to my mind right away, and I don't know why. It was just for whatever reason I was like, okay, that one I had it done in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, this is gonna be a combination of fans and us, because I'm gonna wanna like, you know, go to the lab and throw in some of my own twists to some of these questions.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? That's going to be a great segment when we do a live show at Queen City Exchange.
Yes, I agree. I completely agree.
So
we'll get that locked in soon so we can start.
Yeah, I'm going to head down there and talk to him and set up a date. So, you know what? I think that's it. I think that was a good episode.
That's
24. We've had guests the last couple weeks. Hell, we had two each the last 2 weeks. So we figured we'd give you guys just a regular show with us too. Please, any feedback. We look forward to it. We need it. We try to use it as much as possible. We're trying to figure out all the kinks on the back end side with volume and all that stuff that's way above our head. So we're trying to figure out all that stuff. But in terms of the show, segments, topics, guests, all that stuff, any feedback, that's what we want to hear from you guys, because we do it for you guys for entertainment. So let us know. You can tweet us at FundamentallySD on Twitter. Shout out Tommy, who edits this. Shout out Matt, who runs our social. Their personal handles are in our Twitter bio on FundamentallySD. So shoot them a follow. They definitely deserve it. God knows they bust ass to help us out. And don't ask anything from us. So shout them out.
Hey, guess what?
Next week, what?
I'm going to Bowling Green, Kentucky tomorrow.
Are you going to the Corvette Museum?
I'm going to my second modeling gig.
Oh God, that's a hike. Are you flying?
I'm driving. I like to drive.
I guess. Well, from Chicago, that's probably what, 6 hours?
6 hours.
And you're already in Central Time Zone, so it's the same. Yeah, it's not too bad.
All good for me.
Are you going up and back, or are you staying down there for a night?
They got me up in a hotel on Wednesday night.
Go to Western Kentucky.
Should I, like, just go, what, like, walk around, see the campus? Is it nice?
Well, go see if you can see Mitchell Robinson.
Go look for Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, go break news with us to see if he's on campus.
Yeah, I'll get an exclusive interview, and I'll just yell at him.
Where were you?
One of those exclusive yelling at him interviews.
Yeah, just figure out. Just get him on the show. Just show up at Western Kentucky. Go to the gym. It's Stansbury. He'll probably know who you are.
Yeah, actually, no. He was at a bunch of my games when I was in AAU season.
So show up. Because it's in Bowling Green, so you're right there.
I'm very intrigued. I haven't been through Kentucky in a while. You know how I feel about that state.
Are you driving through Lexington?
I don't know. I haven't looked at my route yet. I'm going through Indianapolis.
I don't know. You might be going down.
Indianapolis, so whatever is south of that. Louisville, that's where I'm going through.
Yeah, and then cutting on the Bluegrass Parkway.
That's it.
Have fun.
Fundamentally SD.
We'll be back next week. Remember, there is a contest going on right now.
Mm.
24 spots left. If you're one of the first 100 people to comment or to leave a review on our iTunes page, you're entered to win a t-shirt of your choice. So please go ahead and do that. Subscribe, rate, review Fundamentally Sound on iTunes. We're on everything else too. I looked at that the other day. We're on all the good stuff. Stitcher, podcast app, all that stuff, SoundCloud. Until then, follow Fundamentally SD on Twitter, and we'll see you guys next week.